Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning.
Good morning, Allison.
I was frantically checking to make sure all the lights were on.
Allison's the engineer around here, and I couldn't do it. But welcome to the Bill and Allison Show. We're happy that you joined us this morning, and we've got a ton of stuff going on this morning. We've got 2 hours to get through about 20 hours of material.
And don't forget, today's election day.
Today is election day.
If you live in the city of Kerrville.
The city of Kerrville, city of Johnson City, Fredericksburg, all over the place.
Yeah, it's...
Municipal
election day.
Municipal election day, and Bandera, wherever. And that's one thing we wanted to talk to you about today. So it's the last day to vote. So if you didn't vote early, get out and vote. Polls are open until 7. Find out where your voting place is. Allison and I started researching all the different towns and where their voting places is, and we'd spend the rest of the program just listing addresses, so we don't want to do that. The best thing to do is do what we did: search your town name and May 4, 2024 election information, or words to that effect. And but don't forget to vote. And a Bill and Allison Show.
Well, only if you're voting for the right people.
Well, I was about to say that. Thank you. We are. If you're listening to Harley a few moments ago, it's really an important election in the city of Kerrville. And that's for Roman Garcia for mayor, Barbara Duell Ferguson. They're both running against people. Joe Herring is running against Roman Garcia for mayor. Joe Herring has supported his votes on the city council prove this, keeping the disgusting grooming books in the Kerrville Library, the Holdsworth Library. Brenda Hughes, who's running against Barbara Duell Ferguson, same thing. She voted for that. Plus, Brenda Hughes attacked the Bible. Oh, that's real smart for a politician in Kerrville, Texas, to be attacking the Bible. And if you were listening to Harley just a few minutes ago, you heard out of her own mouth, Brenda Hughes attacking the Bible.
Yeah.
So hello. That? So vote for Roman Garcia for mayor and Barbara Duell Ferguson for city council. And in Kerrville and other towns too, kind of a weird system. She's running for place 4, I think it is, right? Mm-hmm. But that has nothing. You can vote if you live in the city of Kerrville. You can vote. The place 4 is meaningless, basically. You might say, well, I don't live in precinct 4 or whatever. No, it has nothing to do with that. You can vote for Barbara Duell Ferguson wherever you are, and of course for Roman Garcia. Well, we got a little off track there. We need to warn you, we are not politically correct here at the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We are politically incorrect, are we not, Allison?
That's all right.
And proudly so. But most of all, we strive to be biblically correct. Wasn't it biblically correct? Is that a word?
I don't think so.
We like to open our show with a verse, and this is from the book of James, chapter 2. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, how does that profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that proves that you're saved by your good deeds, your works, is what the Bible calls them. No, James is not, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is not saying that your salvation depends on your works or your good deeds. We know that's not true because of, for example, Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, not of good deeds, lest any man should boast. So you're not saved by your good deeds. Otherwise, the Bible says you go around boasting out what a great great Christian you are. No, but you're not saved without them. Now, how do those two go together? Well, the Holy Spirit, again, speaking through James, simply means that if you're a Christian, you will show it in your works, in your good deeds, in the good things you do, and by obeying the Lord. If you have no good works, that shows you have no saving faith. You know, the old saying, if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Ooh.
It's something to worry about, isn't it?
Well, this week, Florida became the first state to officially ban lab-grown meat.
Ooh, eat the bugs.
No, lab-grown meat.
Okay, so people have to eat bugs instead of lab-grown meat.
Yeah. More states are floating similar bills.
Well, good for them.
I hope Texas is.
Yeah. But
after years of massive fundraising rounds and media attention, the cultivated meat industry is facing pushback from politicians and powerful meat lobbying groups, referred to as fake meat and slop by politicians. The protein is made by taking animal cell cultures and growing them in a lab into an edible meat substitute.
I'll tell you what, I have seen a video, and I suggest people go to YouTube and find a video about how lab-grown meat is made. You'll throw up. I mean, first of all, it's not food made by chefs. It's food made in a factory, okay? And the slop is a good word for it because they pour it out of these vats into the molds or whatever, and it looks like something my dog threw up. I mean, it is just disgusting. And that's what you're eating with lab-grown meats. Well, they want to put farmers out of business because of climate change, because cows fart and burp. And they've even this is serious. We talked about this on the show one time. Somebody's come out with face masks for cows.
Yeah.
Because they say, well, actually, the burping is more CO2 emissions than the others. So, and they seriously want to. Can you imagine how long would a cow tolerate a face mask?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
These people are insane. We live in clown world.
Exactly. But no lab-grown meat is currently available in the United States. And there are two companies working on it, but they say their products will debut in restaurants before grocery stores. But the question is,
not in Florida.
Well, I was going to say, why are politics so fired up? Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called lab-grown meat a threat to the state's agriculture industry, specifically ranching. Beef cattle generate over $900 million a year in the state. Florida ranks ninth in the U.S. for beef cattle production. Nationally, the meat industry is worth about $283 billion annually, and some traditional meat producers have spent years supporting hurdles for anyone trying to disrupt it. In 2021, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, which represents cattle ranchers, and you might know its slogan, beef, it's what's for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Where's the beef?
No, beef, it's what's for dinner.
I know.
I think, where's the beef is...
was a Burger King ad.
No, it wasn't Burger King.
Old lady. I know, what difference does it make?
It was some fast food joint.
Yes, there you go.
Anyway, they pushed for a labeling rule preventing lab-grown meat from being called beef. Earlier this year, the same group and other meat lobbyists supported bills banning lab-grown meat from school lunches. They have not succeeded in getting them enacted. Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, very reluctantly held his nose, but he praised Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for banning lab-grown meat. Fetterman said about himself, as a member of at Senate Ag Dems and some dude who would never serve that slop to my kids.
John Fetterman, well, he must be coming to his senses.
How about that? I think that stroke is wearing off. Because
I feel very sorry for him.
He's been saying some things that made some sense.
So he's coming into his right mind.
Well exactly. Good.
He was a lefty when he was, when he had a stroke and his mind was gone.
So he is.
That's
he
very
is,
typical, you know. Well, it's Biden supporters are like Christmas lights, Allison. They all hang together. Half of them don't work, and the other ones aren't too bright. We're going to be back on the Bill and Allison Mancaro Show right after a quick break. Sends out its radiance to nations near and
welcome back. We're Bill and Allison Mancaro on Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
This week marks the 48th anniversary of the greatest play in baseball by Chicago Cubs center fielder Rick Monday. His quick thinking stopped a protester from burning an American flag on the field. As the Cubs faced the L.A. Dodgers at Dodger Stadium in 1976, a pair of protesters ran out onto the field in the bottom of the fourth inning with an American flag doused in lighter fluid. They tried to light the flag on fire using matches they brought, but Rick Monday, Cubs center fielder, Marine Corps veteran, he wasn't having any of that. He bolted across the field and yanked the flag right out from under the anti-American protesters. The crowd leapt to its feet in applause. The scoreboard broke out in a message reading, "Rick Monday, you made a great play." And he said afterwards, "If you're going to burn a flag, burn the flag, don't do it around me." He said, "I've been into too many veterans' hospitals, seen too many broken bodies of guys who tried to protect it." He also said, "I didn't want any of my former drill instructors from the Marine Corps to come and say, 'Hey, Marine, why did you stand there and watch when they ignited the American flag?'" He said, "What they were doing was wrong. I wanted them off the field, and they would be desecrating a flag that some of my buddies lost their lives for, representing the rights and freedoms that you and I enjoy." Here's an excerpt from an interview with Rick Monday.
30 years later, I could not tell you immediately what was on my mind, except what they were doing was wrong. As far as I'm concerned, it was wrong in 1976. It's wrong today, what they were trying to do. The first match was struck, and as it was put to the flag, the wind blew it out, and I'm still running at them. The second match is ignited, and one of them starts to put the match to the flag at the same time I got there. I do know that I thought about maybe bowling them over, but now I can get the flag before maybe the match can get there. So I reached out, picked it up, still on the run. And the first thing that came to mind, I mean, you could smell the lighter fluid. That's how much they doused it. And it was soaking wet. You could feel the coldness of this lighter fluid. And I said, "Well, is it on fire?" Well, obviously it was not on fire. Thank goodness it was not on fire.
People don't notice, but he beat me to the flag. I was coaching third base at that time. And I saw Rick Monday start running from center field over to left. I didn't know what it was, but as soon as I saw him stop, I took off and I ran out there.
Tommy Lasorda, remember, was the third base coach at the time for the Dodgers. It was the year before he became the manager, the year before I came to the Dodgers. Tommy ran past me yelling about every expletive a longshoreman has ever uttered in trying to get to the guys. I gave the flag to Doug Rao, who's a left-handed pitcher for the Dodgers, who came out of their third base dugout, and I gave him the flag. I turned around, the guys are being escorted off the field by members of the security team, and also Duke, the head groundskeeper, was with them too, and he had one of them by the arm, and they escort them off the field. And it was a very quiet moment. There was a smattering of applause as they got these two guys off the field, and it got quiet again. And if memory serves correctly, from one part of the stadium, I don't know where, and then from another part, and then from another part, and then kind of collectively, people began to sing "God Bless America." Don't know where it came from.
It was a very heroic move on his part in a situation that could have easily just let go. The flag could have easily just burned there until a couple of ushers came out. But Rick acted, and I think we're all very, very happy that he did.
I'm surprised by the response in the greatest sense of the word. Embarrassed by the intention that was focused upon me, because I don't know anyone that would not have done the same thing had they been as close to it as I was. So that being said, I get letters every week from retired servicemen, from their families, from kids who were not even born then that heard about it. And it started again a little bit more so a few years ago. Major League Baseball had selected that moment, saving the flag, is one of the top 100 moments in Major League Baseball history. So there was a rejuvenation of that entire thing. And from time to time, people ask, "Well, are you upset because you spent 19 seasons in the major leagues and you're known for primarily stopping two people from burning the flag?" If that's all you're known for, it's not a bad thing at all. I think it solidified the thought process of hundreds of thousands of people that represented this country in fine fashion. Many of them lost their lives.
Yeah, that was Rick Monday, center fielder for the Chicago Cubs, talking about his, what many, many, many people have called, many sports writers have called, the greatest play in the history of baseball, where he snatched a flag that was about to be burned on by a couple of protesters who jumped onto the field during a Chicago Cubs Dodgers game in Wrigley Field. And that was, as I said, considered the greatest play in baseball. So that was this week in 1976.
Okay, well, let's take a
Before you go, the how do you pronounce Worcester? Is it Worcester, Massachusetts?
Worcester.
Worcester, Massachusetts once had a Major League Baseball team back in the 1800s named the Worcester
Worcesters. Jeez.
What are they thinking? What you got, Allison?
Well, an economic earthquake hit California recently. A highly contentious law takes an effect that raises the minimum wage for most fast food workers in the state to $20 per hour, a 25% increase.
Why not $20,000 an hour?
Well, that's a 25% increase over the existing minimum wage. Advocates say that the law will raise the living standards of hundreds of thousands of low-paid workers, many of whom are Black and Latinos.
All it's going to do is raise prices.
Well, exactly. Critics argue that it will lead to higher prices for consumer. It's going to cause job losses. Some of those Blacks and Latinos are going to be fired.
Yeah. Not because they're Black and Latino, because we can't afford to pay you $20 when you produce $10 an hour in revenue for us.
Yeah, but critics argue that it's going to be higher prices for consumers, cause job losses, for small businesses to close. McDonald's, Chipotle, and Jack in the Box are among the chains that have already said they'll have to raise menu prices because of the added labor costs.
Oh, some may go out of business.
Exactly.
They're going to have to raise the prices because they have to pay people $20 an hour minimum.
Yeah.
And they raise their prices and people say, well, I'm not going to go anymore. I'm going to, you know, go to a fast food place instead of a sit-down restaurant or whatever it is. How about going to the grocery store and making your and cooking your own food?
What a concept.
There's a sign at one of our favorite restaurants that says, if I have to stir it, it's homemade.
Anyway, the job cuts are already there. A large Pizza Hut franchisee in California is laying off more than 1,000 delivery drivers this year because of the minimum wage increase.
Yeah.
And looking ahead, expect more robots to trim costs. Restaurants will likely ramp up their automation efforts by replacing humans with kiosks for taking orders.
We're seeing that in the grocery stores. Now they have the self-checkouts, which I didn't have a few years ago. So you know that not as many people work there as they used to. We see that at the big box stores, the home improvement stores. Lowe's in Kerrville doesn't have any cashiers anymore. You can't even get a cashier in Lowe's. Mm-hmm. You have to go to the self-checkout. So all these people are losing their jobs because of minimum wage increases, among other things. Yeah, and they're trying to be more efficient, so they're... robotics.
Okay. Chipotle has already begun testing the Autocado, a guacamole-making robot.
Okay. That's wild.
Well, did you know that a barren plain in South Dakota is the only place in the lower 48 states that is more than 100 miles from a McDonald's?
The only place in the United States that's more than 100 miles from a McDonald's. Wow. Yeah, that used to be the case more than 100 miles. Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to say, it used to be the case in Dalhart, Texas, where I'm originally from, but they put in a McDonald's there a few years ago. So there's even a McDonald's in Dalhart, Texas. If you can believe such a thing. And in 1980, the Dallas Mavericks officially became the 23rd member of the NBA. They hired Dick Motta, then the coach with the third highest number of wins in NBA history, as the team's first head coach. They figured, well, we're doing well. We're hiring Dick Motta, one of the winningest coaches in NBA history. Well, the first season under Dick Motta, the record was 15 wins and 67 losses. Well. What you got, Allison?
Oh, let me see. I've got all sorts of
things. I know you've got piles of stuff. I thought you were signaling me frantically to to share what wisdom that you have for us.
Well, today is Berkshire Hathaway's annual shareholders meeting, a.k.a. Woodstock for Capitalists. And it will take place in Omaha. And Warren Buffett will be chairing it for the 60th time. He's been doing that since 1965.
Whoa, really?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Well, okay, here's another one. Oh, by the way, the Berkshire Hathaway annual shareholders meeting, you can find the Q&A on CNBC.
Okay.
Are you interested?
No.
Okay.
Well, Attorney General Ken Paxton has joined a Louisiana-led coalition in sending a letter to the Biden administration demanding that Executive Order 14019 be rescinded because it gives federal agencies unprecedented power to influence elections. Wow. His executive order allows Biden's hand-picked political appointees to direct federal agencies in using our money, taxpayer funds, to register voters, distribute vote-by-mail ballots, help voters they choose, of course they'll go from Democrat registered Democrats, to participate in the electoral process and engage in countless other quasi-electioneering activities at their political appointees' discretion. Now, that sounds like a violation of the Hatch Act to me, but we will see. It gives Biden appointees the ability to select, quote, approved third-party organizations that use taxpayer funding to carry out these actions as well. And, of course, a system like that is ripe for abuse, corruption. It's going to lead to significant public funding for the Biden administration's political allies. Attorney General Paxton, General Paxton said, it's difficult to see how this is anything but a grotesque insult to election integrity on top of being unconstitutional. General Paxton went on, the Constitution explicitly grants the power of election oversight to state legislatures, allowing political appointees at federal agencies to use taxpayer dollars to influence election efforts, runs afoul of our election laws, basic fairness, and the desperate need for election security, unquote. General Paxton concluded this letter to the Biden administration saying, in the end, your executive order, this is to President Biden, the letter is to President Biden, in the end, your executive order appears to be a get-out-the-vote effort designed by the left to benefit the left, all paid for by federal taxpayers. It is illegal, unethical, and unconstitutional, and that is why it must be rescinded. Well, good for Attorney General Ken Paxton. Despite the efforts of State Representative Andy Muir and Ellen Traxclair, who voted to impeach the Attorney General Ken Paxton, that failed in the Senate, the state Senate, but they voted to do it. So you get what you vote for, you know. Fortunately, Wes Verdell will be the state representative for much of the Hill Country, and we're glad about that. Sorry about Kyle Biederman being able to pull it off. That was a shame.
Well, here's something you might have something to comment on. You didn't know I was going to do this. Talk about this.
I never know what you're going to do.
Auto insurance rates in Texas jumped an average of 25.5%.
Yeah.
In 23, more than doubled the national increase. Insurance rates across Texas spiked in 2023, far outpacing increases seen across the U.S.
Our homeowners just doubled.
Well, that doubled. I mean, it actually slightly more than doubled. But there are several factors in the auto insurance. The price of new and used vehicles have spiked since the pandemic, so insurers are having to write checks for larger amounts to replace totaled vehicles. The costs of labor and parts are rising because of supply chain problems, inflation, more technology being built into cars. Some parts are taking longer than usual to arrive at dealerships and auto shops, which means insurers are spending more to keep customers in rental cars than they typically would. Mm. And the volume of accidents and severe collisions is also increasing, is pushing up medical costs.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, the serious injury crashes in Texas in 2022 were up 18.5%. The number of fatalities increased 23.6%. Mm. Well, yeah, I mean,
our homeowners went up.
Yes,
not
exactly.
Auto, I haven't looked at. Well, actually, okay, let me talk. Are you done with that one? Because I have some comments about that. Our auto insurance jumped recently. So I went online and I just started looking around for an alternative, you know. And I found a company, and they're not paying for an ad here. This is talk about, this is a personal decision we made, called Mile Auto, M-I-L-E, auto.com. They charge by how much you drive. Now, if you drive all over the place, it's not going to be a bargain for you. But if you don't drive, you drive around town, maybe take a trip once in a while, or you know, go 20 miles to the next town or whatever, you might want to look into this, mileauto.com. And it has cut our auto insurance way more than half, in half. It's great. So, and another thing that I mentioned, our homeowners insurance, more than, Allison says more, I didn't realize it was more than doubled, slightly doubled mm-hmm. from this past year. Renewal is at the end of this month. And I looked at it and I thought, what? And I, so I did contact our agent and say, what the heck's going on? And I haven't heard back yet. But I jumped online to see, well, what are alternatives? I came across something I never heard of before. What I did, I searched for, the other thing that I should also say, when I went online to see if I could find out to our insurance company why it went up, I couldn't, they didn't explain it. They just said, pay us or, you know, die. And, they're not
so
a health.
We're not sure which option to take yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're not a life insurance company. They wouldn't want us to die, but the homeowners, they don't care. Anyway, so I went online to look at our current homeowners, and I have never seen this before. When I've gone online, I go online to this insurance company a lot to see where our policies are and how much we owe and what we're covered for and all that. I get this screen. The first thing I get this screen talks about how they're reducing their carbon footprint. And how, click here to see what, you know, what a woke company we are. So I went online and I found this, America First Insurance. Again, this is not an ad. They're not paying for this. Something I did. AmericaFirstInsurance.org. The first thing you see is a big picture of Donald Trump Jr. And here's a quote from him. America First Insurance is the people's response to woke corporations and their political and ideological agendas. The average American just wants affordable insurance for their family, their home, their car, and their life. They don't want the company selling them these services to be pushing a woke agenda or any agenda for that matter. They say the best companies on the planet are those created out of necessity, and for conservative, patriotic Americans, this is a solution to a very big problem. It's not the only insurance company that's good. I'm sure there are a lot of them that's good, but just from a personal standpoint, and we haven't signed up for them. I'm just looking at it right now, AmericaFirstInsurance.org.
Okay. Break out your mint juleps. Today is Kentucky Derby Day.
Oh, it is.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
We need to get some mint. Yeah. Do we have any growing?
No, I think we, no.
Oh, that's bummer.
It. Yeah.
Okay. They generally have 160,000 spectators. How's that even possible? But it's not just any derby. It's the 150th running of the longest running continuously held annual sporting event in the U.S.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Did you know that Churchill Downs is a publicly traded company? Last Thursday, its stock had its best day in nearly 6 months after posting a record revenues and profits.
Hmm.
I thought this was an interesting factoid. The legendary Secretariat still holds the fastest
the horse
ever. Secretariat won the Kentucky Derby in 1973. And his record has not been broken.
No kidding.
And there's speculation that it's the horses that thoroughbreds might have hit their peak because decades of selective breeding have led to 95% of the breed descending from a single Arabian horse.
Wow, that's
Isn't
wild.
That incredible.
Yeah, that's wild. This came across the Bill and Allison Mancaro wire.
Across the transom.
Somebody tossed it across the transom. An organizer involved in the anti-Israel pro-Hamas encampment at the University of Chicago has released a list of needed supplies. Supplies. They need a table, wound packing gauze, heat gloves, portable chargers, tourniquets, goggles, emergency bandages, trauma shears, and several sexually oriented items.
Oh, well, they're requesting AIDS testing.
AIDS testing.
But they're not requesting condoms.
Oh, good point. No, they're not. I'm looking at the list of things that they want. Mm-hmm. And they want Plan B, which is, I had to look it up, that's the morning after pill. They want other stuff that I won't talk about in the air, but they do not ask for condoms. They want Vaseline, disposable stethoscopes, buckets with lids. They're demanding this. Also, vegan and, quote, vegan and gluten-free food, as well as, quote, no bananas. Yeah. They want super bright flashlights with strobes, rope, zip ties, helmet, shields, wood, lotion, no sunscreen. No sunscreen, Allison. Do not give them bananas or sunscreen. Knee and elbow pads. They go on. They're demanding this. I'm surprised Joe Biden hasn't spent all of our, a lot of taxpayers' money to send them all these supplies, Unreal. Unreal. Oh, here we go. Oh, they want tents. The list goes on and on. These are what the protesters are demanding. Well, we are Bill and Allison Mancaro on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We're also at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com, and we've got a ton of stuff to talk about, and it is election day all over the listening area.
In the city,
municipal election day all over the area. So if you live in the confines of a town, it's your day to vote, the last day. Search your town and May 4, 2024 election information. We'll be back right after these brief messages, which you need to listen to.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison Mancaro, Hill Country Patriot. Your information station.
Absolutely. For an entire Hill Country. Plus, we are on at hillcountrypatriot.com, where you can listen live to all of our great programming. And a good idea to download the app, Hill Country Patriot app. And that way you can listen on your phone wherever you are. Hillcountrypatriot.com. We're also at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. If you're interested in the Bill and Allison show, you can download our previous shows, and we got a bunch of them there. And take them wherever you want to go. I had an uncle in Alaska.
Shoot. I'm not going to play along.
Come
with
on.
That. I'm not going to play along.
You're supposed to say gnome, and then I say, of course I know him. He's my uncle. But this is a brilliant segue into our next topic.
It is?
Christy Gnome.
Oh, jeez.
I just have a million of them. Well, everybody knows she wrote about killing her 14-month-old dog, Cricket, by dragging her out to a gravel pit and shooting her with a shotgun in the head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the woman who is supposedly on the short list to be Trump's vice presidential candidate.
Well, was.
The was is the operative word. Yeah. operative word.
Oh, and she also killed a goat. Shot.
She killed a goat because it was smelly.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gee, what goat isn't?
Yeah, the dog wouldn't hunt, so she shot it in the head, in the face. Yeah,
to be fair, her defense is the dog was aggressive. The dog, she took it out to hunt, and everybody probably knows this. The dog, she wrote in her forthcoming book, well, the dog just had the time of its life chasing all the birds, but that's not a good hunting dog. Well, this dog is 14 months old and untrained.
It's a puppy, and she said it was aggressive toward people and other animals. Well, tell you what.
Would attack a chicken, couple of chickens.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay, tell you what. If a dog is aggressive, it means it was poorly trained.
Yeah. Somebody posted on social media about the story, said, I'm a dog trainer. I've been a dog trainer for X number of years. I have never seen an untrainable dog. Yeah. All right. As long, you know, that, unless the dog is very old and has never been trained, that right. might, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I just made that up. But if she can't train it, then you take it to a trainer, hire a trainer.
Exactly.
And if you can't do that, you put it up for adoption.
Exactly.
You don't shoot it in the head with a shotgun in a gravel pit.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You know, and she's doubling down on this.
Yeah,
because she knows her political career is about as alive as that dog right now. Her political career, so she's desperately trying to renew it. What's wrong?
I was going to say she's so brain dead. Does she realize she killed her political career?
And she writes about it. And what's wrong with her staff? Yeah. I don't think it's a good idea to talk about to tell people about that.
Yeah,
but no, she's doubling down on it. And she says, she's saying, well, I'm tough enough to face these difficult decisions, and I'm authentic enough to tell the truth about it. Somebody called it canicide. You know, canicide?
Right.
But, she's, the morbid fascination with her morbid fascination with the Noah's Ark worth of animals Christy Noem has talked about proudly killing the dog, Cricket, a goat, and then three horses.
Oh, that's right. She said, just last week we had to shoot three horses.
Three horses that have been in our family for 25 years. And she talks about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She said, you know, she shouldn't be anywhere near the White House if you're brain dead.
Wait a minute. So all three had to be shot at the same time? The horses? Yeah.
She likes to shoot animals.
I mean, you do put animals down. But not. I don't know about horses, but I know dogs. She shot hers in the head.
Oh no!
A normal person, if a dog really needed to be put to sleep,
take it to the vet.
You would take it to the vet, or
humanely.
She said they were on a farm. Well, gee, farmers have access to a lot of
farmers
chemicals.
Farmers have vets all the time. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not talking you, but I said in general. What is she talking about? You know, I'm sure they go to the vet, or the vet comes to the farm. Usually the vet, large animals, usually the vet comes to the farm. So, it's crazy. By the way, a bipartisan group of members of Congress responded to the news by forming the Congressional Dog Lovers Caucus.
Well, and
you know, the fact she continues to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why would you, you know, I mean, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging, you know.
Yeah.
Stop murdering animals.
Yeah. Well, but Bill and I watch Walker, Texas Ranger every day. There's a marathon single day.
I shouldn't admit that.
And I tuned in late. I guess it was last night. And Bill was not there. I tuned in late. And I got like a minute of the previous show, and it was apparently the subject was they had put a guy in jail for injuring a dog.
In jail? You mean Walker did?
Yeah, Walker did. Wow. That was apparently that was discussed earlier in the show. It was a big deal in the show, but I'm wondering if they replayed that. Rerun that specific one.
Oh, because of Christy
Noem? on purpose because the timing is awfully bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay, well, on this week in 1908, Oskar Schindler was born in Moravia. He's credited with saving 1,200 Jews during the Holocaust. His story was featured in the Hollywood film Schindler's List, which is directed by Steven Spielberg, which won 7 Oscars, including the Best Picture and Best Director.
You know, there's an elevator company called Schindler. And I told Allison, I think I've told you this probably more times than you want to remember. Probably once was more than you want to remember. That we get into an elevator and I see it's made by Schindler. I tell her I'm making a list of all the Schindler elevators there are in the country. She found that about as funny as I think our audience did. Mm-hmm. But I don't hear anybody laughing. That's the problem with radio. You know, you're talking to, well, in this case, I'm talking to my wife. But, no, as you know, Red Skelton, who had a great marriage. I think he was married for like 70 years or something. But he had some great lines about marriage. He said, my wife told me the car wasn't running well because there was water in the carburetor. I asked where the car was. She told me, in the lake.
Well, this past week, attorneys general representing half of the country on May 1 sued President Joe Biden's administration over a new rule requiring criminal background checks for all gun sales, including private sales.
Yep.
There are lawsuits in Florida, Texas, and Arkansas asking the courts to block a rule from the BATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, mm-hmm. and Firearms. Oh, and if they've added explosives.
Well, Congress has repeatedly refused to pass any laws requiring background checks for private sales. Now the Biden administration is just ignoring that and ruling by executive order and forcing background checks on private sales. Not only private sales, but swapping guns, somebody mm-hmm. giving you a gun. You got to do the background check. They're blatantly unconstitutional and blatantly trying to get around Congress.
Well, the BATF has redefined engaged in business of dealing in firearms. It used to mean making money when you were a dealer in firearms. Now they've changed that to just if you're, you know, selling your gun.
Yeah, yeah. Blatantly unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Of course, Biden administration doesn't care anything about that, yeah. whether it's unconstitutional or not, because I don't think they know what the Constitution is.
Well, and under the new rule, almost every transfer of firearms, firearm ownership would require at least one party to have a federal firearms license and perform a background check. And this includes private sales, and the new rule goes into effect on May 10.
Unbelievable. Well, people are just not going to do it. You know. Not going to do it. If there's massive resistance, what, are they going to put everybody in jail? You know, people are just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we are Bill and Allison, and we certainly thank you for joining us. Remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. And you know, Allison, there's so much packed into that little verse. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure things out yourself. Trust Him with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He promises will direct your paths. Join us next Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m., Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot.